Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out and fire up your grill or smoker in your backyard. And yes, if you got to shovel a little snow off your deck, that's okay, because a true grilling guy never stops grilling. It's a year-round thing. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks for joining us, and thanks for creeping everybody out, Jop. That was a nice greeting you put out there for everybody.
I'm just trying to mimic the guy that does our intro.
Well, there. No. Hey. The producer, Brian Fongers, just ran out of the studio, so you might want to run down the hall and get him back. He's scaring everybody. Nah, just kidding. Thanks for joining us. It is the weekend, so we're here to torture everyone with tantalizing tips of tastiness and maybe something good to drink and some fun on your deck. Yeah. Fun at the deer camp, fun at the ice fishing hole. Wherever you're going to be at, you're just going to be able to maybe expand your game just a little bit because of a couple knuckleheads who got you up in the morning.
Yeah, this week, right after the show last week, rather, I shout out to the stump capital of Michigan. That would be Truefant, which is kind of in the center of the state, and parked my butt on a bucket from about 10 in the morning till dark.
So you had bucket butt by the end of the day.
I did, man. My lower back was killing me by the time it was done. But I put in a day of ice fishing.
You need that nice chair I got at Allen Bob's. Well, that would be really good.
That would have been better. But then I'd probably have a hard time getting out of it. You know, you can just kind of stand up. But anyway, had a couple buddies that invited me out to go with them. And
what'd you catch?
Well, we caught a bunch of bluegills. But the real story was, is I was sitting out there. And, it was pretty nice when I got there. And by noon, the wind was blowing about 25 miles an hour, and it was about 15 degrees. You're constantly skimming the hole. So we broke down and put up the shanty. Oh, my, what a difference. And I'm not a big shanty guy because it makes you fish in one spot, right? You set the thing up. But they were biting pretty much anywhere we were. And, man, got in there, took the jacket off, had this little heater going on. This guy had an 11 by 11 foot pop-up shanty. It was like a little condo on the ice. Boy, it got all warm in there, and we caught fish and maybe threw a beer can at each other once in a while, and had a little hot dam. So just a really good afternoon fishing, and had myself some jerky and meat sticks from our friends at Sobey Meats, and those were popular with the guys too. While I was outside, they froze solid, but when I got in the shanty, they warmed up and they were pretty good eating. But that's what I did last weekend. What about you, man?
Well, I have a fair amount of venison and a fair amount of ground beef. I got a beautiful grass-fed Black Angus from through one of our listeners and friends, Dan Hula. And I have a lot of that left in the freezer and a whole bunch of ground venison because I just find that, you know, I plan on getting two deer this year, so I wanted a bunch of burger. So I've got steaks and burger. That's all I've got. I got no jerky meat this year. So I thought, okay, I'm going to make a little sausage.
Oh, really?
So I got a couple of synthetic casings from Sobey Meats quite a while ago. I didn't know how long they'd last. They last virtually forever because they're dry when you get them.
Right.
And I took about, I think, 3 packs of ground venison and 1.5 pound pack of that ground beef, and I thawed them, mixed them together, and I mixed them up with some, I put mustard seed, some coarse ground black pepper, and sea salt, celery salt, garlic powder, and onion powder, and a little bit of thyme.
So you used your salts for kind of a cure?
They're the cure, sea salt and celery salt create a natural cure. And then I mixed them all together, and I ran them through. I got a cool attachment for my wife's big tabletop mixer. Yeah.
I think and I bought you that attachment.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
No, I bought it for your wife. I didn't buy it for you. But yeah.
Well, so I finally got to use the stuffer on it.
Right.
Worked really nice.
Cool.
Yeah, good. So much easier.
KitchenAid deal, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Great big monster. And so I put all that stuff through there, and it just shot it right into the tube beautifully. And I wish I would have done
how
more.
How big a diameter casing did you have?
It's the big, the synthetic.
Like 3-inch one?
Yeah, maybe. 2.5s, I think they are. And then I tied them up, and I laid them on the rack of my Cajun, and a nice low, it was really cold out, so I did a nice low, slow smoke with some of that apple you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what'd you bring those to internal temperature? How'd you know when they were done?
Well, that's a trick, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because it's ground meat. I think I brought them up to when they were sweated out really good. I think they were somewhere around 180, if I'm not mistaken. A little higher than maybe I had to, but it was my first crack. I didn't want to take any chances.
Right.
So they're not overcooked. They're gorgeous.
And when you said sweated out, what's that look like?
Well, you can tell when the meat's really getting cooked because the wrapper is swelling up, and then when you pull one off, it immediately starts shrinking.
Right.
So you've reduced your fats and cooked your meat. And I only probed them like one time, and they were like maybe 175, 180, I think,
right,
were the two different temps because there was only two casings.
Yeah.
And wow. How cool is that?
Yeah, making anybody your own summer sausage,
anybody can do it. It's too easy. And Sobey Meats in Grand Rapids, Michigan, sells the whole kit if you want. You can get the packet with the mix, and he's got all the casings, whatever kind of casings you want, if you want the small ones, the mediums, or the large synthetics. I simply wanted the large synthetics because I wanted summer sausage.
Well, yeah, and the key to what you just said, though, is that the stuffing apparatus itself, whether you got one that goes on a mixer or they make hand ones that you can crank it out.
You could
whatever.
Literally, with these big casings, you could literally do it with a soup spoon.
Right.
You could take it in and just pack it in by hand.
And then twist it on the top to tighten it down.
Yep,
and
tie it off.
Right, tie it off, sure. Now, I've done that in the smoker where I took on the good one, the big trailer smoker that I have, I took the bottom three racks out and tied those sausages from the top rack, the grating, just ran the strings through and tied them off and let them hang there
mm-hmm.
while they cooked. Now, I'll tell you that on that, the ones that were closer to the heat source, because I did like a dozen of them, the ones that were closer to the heat source got done a long time before the ones that were further away from the heat source. So you got to watch that when you're only doing one or two on your Cajun.
Yeah, and they were on the end. Right. That reminds me, you know, I do believe I have a whole set of racks for that smoker too. So next time you want to do that, let's tear my shed apart, because somewhere in there are some fabricated racks that a fellow made.
Yeah,
so
right.
So you can hang them.
Yeah.
I don't know how big a deal it is to hang them anyway. I mean, honestly, these turned out so beautiful. All you get's a little bit of a grate mark on the bottom, but...
Right.
I'm,
it's a great mark, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So anyway, the rest of the show, we're going to be heading down south to a little Mississippi barbecue. We've got three guests over the next three segments that all are experts in their particular discipline. And one of them is a guy named Mark Lambert. You've heard him on the show before. Sweet Swine O' Mine. Little place called Spoonie's Barbecue. You're not going to want to miss this guy. And we also got a guy named Pat Davis from Abe's Barbecue in Clarksville, Mississippi, not Clarksville, Michigan. But these guys are going to break it down for you and give you a little bit of what makes this Southern Mississippi barbecue just a little bit different, right,
yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, that's right. And Pat Davis, I think you're gonna have some pretty cool – actually, all three of them have a lot of really cool stuff. But we're really in Mississippi, but we're focusing on Delta Country because that tends to be – I don't know. I guess my opinion of Mississippi barbecue, because it flows down out of Memphis, and they tend to have some really cool profiles up there.
You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and it is all about Mississippi barbecue. If you're just tuning in, put your feet on the floor, get out the bed, and get ready to do a little barbecue today, because it might be cold where you are, but it's going to be hot once you get it fired up. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
What's cooking is we're going to roll on down to Greenwood, Mississippi, and talk to one of the legends of the Delta Country. His name is Spoonie from Spoonie's Barbecue. Good morning to you, Spoonie.
Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, great to talk to you again. And I'm here with my partner, Jop, and we just want to delve into a little bit of Delta Country and try and figure out why it is that all the great barbecue from Mississippi tends to be up in your neck of the woods.
You know, Greenwood is known for good food. And I'm telling another thing about the Delta. Not only the Delta, you got various places that really cook out of, they use those smokers. What I mean by a smoker, they use those brick.
Pit barbecue.
Pit barbecue. I'll use me for an example now. That's what I used to cook up in Kansas City, them pit barbecue grills. Which I understand, it makes your food come much better and even cook faster. But now, up in this little small little town, we use grills, like cast iron grill or something of that nature. You know, but I prefer cooking with one old pit because I can cook more. For an example, when I was in Kansas City, I used to cook 20 cases of ribs in one day.
That's a bunch.
When I was young then, you know, nowadays, I wouldn't even look in there like that.
So you told me that you tend to use pecan because that's what you've got in your area.
Yeah, that's what I use, pecan in this area. So we got plenty of pecan trees.
I love pecan.
We can get that hickory, but you got to go out and get carrots, which is like a little sublet. I think I said that right. But yep. Anyway, but a lot of snakes.
Yeah, that hickory's full of snakes.
Yeah, full of snakes, man. So I don't even. Now, every so often, somebody might drop me something off, but I prefer to use the pecan because it's so close to me.
I don't think there's anything better than pecan anyway. It's one of my favorites. Peach and pecan are just beautiful woods to smoke with.
Hey, Spoonie, tell me about your flavor profile. If you're going to do one of, you know, five of those racks of ribs rather than 20 cases, what are you doing for a dry rub?
By now, I got about five different seasons I do for the dry rub. That's what makes mine taste so different. For one reason, see, your season need to blend in with your wood.
That's true.
See, all I do with that charcoal, I just get the get that charcoal good and warm, then I throw that log on there, and that's where your flavor come in with your season. But I'm gonna tell you the main thing when you cook, though. You got to pray with it. As I rub, I be praying, can the God make it right? And it'll come out right.
That's always good.
Can't get a better helper than that.
I put him before it. As I rub, I've been saying, bless you, Jesus. And I've been doing this for, what? I was in Kansas for 20, and I'm back here going on 25. I've been in this for 45 years. But you know a good thing about it? You got to love what you're doing.
Amen.
That's right. Spoonie, you're holding back on me, brother. I still haven't heard what you use for your flavor profile. I appreciate that you got a little divine intervention going, but what kind of seasonings do you got there, too?
Well, I'm not going to give you all my seasonings.
Well, okay, give me one.
But I'm going to give you two.
There we go.
All right, then. You got to put that tenderizer on it. That's one of the most important things. Put that tenderizer on. Not no any tenderizer. You need to use that plain tenderizer. You don't need that seasoned tenderizer. You need plain tenderizer. And then, at the end of the day, you put that last spring on it. You put some paprika on it. And then you rub it in.
Some what?
Paprika.
Oh.
Oh.
Yep. You put your paprika on last, huh?
Exactly. Then I'm going to tell you one more thing. And then I'm going to leave you alone. Look out. Get you some liquid smoke.
Okay. So I got tenderizer.
Then you, when you put that paprika on it, do that liquid smoke and rub it in. All that stuff going to saute together.
Ooh. Sounds good, Spoonie. Sounds good, man. Now,
don't get that grill too hot now.
Oh, okay. What's too hot?
Well, what you cooking with, like a regular smoker or an electric smoker?
A regular one.
Okay. Well, see, I got one of my old-fashioned arms. You know, I cook by time. I time my stuff. I know what time I put it on, I know what time to check it out. But I tell you, a good thing to do, keep flipping it. And like every 30 to 45 minutes, you check on it, depending on how high you got the grill now and how big your log is.
Do you ever mop it?
I don't mop it until I finish.
Okay.
Because one thing about it, when you mop it, as you cook, it starts sticking to them drapes. And that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I got a thing I use. I say you want it dry wet. That's when I serve. I don't put sauce on it until I get ready to serve. A lot of people don't want sauce.
Right.
So I'm here to serve both sides.
So watching your temperature is always a big deal. Of course, the type of wood you're using. Now, I tend to use charcoal out of Tennessee. It's called Parker, Pure Mountain Charcoal out of... Central Tennessee. It's the best charcoal I've ever found. And then for flavor wood, I'm going to use whatever I've got in the woods. I've got a lot of hickory. I've got oak. I got cherry pits.
Oak cook too fast for me.
Well, it's pretty hot.
Yeah, it gets hot real quick. It'll burn.
Yeah, I suppose the equipment you have has a lot to do with how you can control your temperature. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. The cherry, I never tried cherry. They said, but, you know, but I did out of time that I know any kind of fruit tree is good to cook with.
You're right.
Apple, stuff like that. But I don't like cooking with oak. It cook too fast.
Yeah. So your pecan is right in line with that being a fruit tree. So that
would be a nut tree.
Well,
yeah, but I'm not cooking with hickory because the places that I started cooking at up in Kansas City, if they use up in Kansas, they use hickory.
Mm-hmm. Because they have a bunch of it.
Hickory? Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I live in the woods. I got a bunch of hickory.
Yeah, man. I like cooking with hickory, man. I miss that old hickory taste.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, when you you working with different people, you got to cook what they bring in there. But, you know, I got adapted to hickory until I end up coming back to Greenwood. And so now I'm stuck on this pecan.
Well, Spoonie, we've got to wrap this up. We're out of time, but we just want to encourage anybody to, if they're traveling through Greenwood, Mississippi, and you've got an event going on, to check out Spoonie's Barbecue, and you can find him online. And we sure appreciate spending time with you, brother.
I appreciate talking to you, man.
All right. We'll be back. All right.
Spoonie, he's got himself some local flavor there going on, man. That's kind of cool.
He's been smoking as long as you've been alive.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a cook, too, so that's a good thing. But he's genuine. That's the real deal right there. But coming up next, we're going to go down to Abe's Barbecue in Clarksville, Mississippi. Abe might take a little different take on what's going on in his barbecue world. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery pub and kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
You can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. A little Mississippi easy listening to get you back in to the grilling mood. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob, and you are listening to the Grilling Guys. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker or even a deep fryer this time of year because fishing season is on. You catch some fish. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, a little Tupelo honey from Van Morrison. Always sounds good. This next fellow we're going to talk to, well, let's get right to it. We've got Pat Davis from Abe's Barbecue in Clarksville, Mississippi. How you doing, Pat?
Hey, is this Bob?
Yes, sir.
How you doing this morning?
All right, my brother.
Good, good.
Yeah, so you have just a very, very cool business. It's generations now in the business. And of course, Abe was who, your grandpa?
That's correct. A Lebanese immigrant.
Yeah.
Turn of the century.
Yeah, I saw his picture on your website, and I said, wow, that looks like one of my father-in-law's brothers. This guy has to be Lebanese. So I got to call this cat up.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us what makes Abe's Barbecue what it is.
I've got to say the people, the customers, they tell us what they like, and for over, 80, 90 years, they've told us what they like, and we try to stick to that. Just try to stay consistent with what our product is. We haven't deviated much since the 40s, from what I understand from my dad. Just a vinegar-based sauce, and, well, not a real light sauce. It's a little bit heavier than a vinegar, and not much sweet at all, if any.
So closer to a Memphis profile.
Yeah, that's what I would agree to, yes, yes.
And the biggest product you're doing is pulled pork?
Correct. We do Boston butts. That's our main seller as far as our pork goes. And we do an inside round for our beef. We smoke it with the pork. We sell a lot more pork, though, as far as that goes. The beef isn't one of the biggest sellers. It's a really good piece of, a really good cut, though. I've tried brisket in the past. I can't get that brisket right for nothing.
Yeah, you're not the only one, Pat. I've been working on that for 5 or 6 years. Barbecue Bob's got a twist on it, but I still struggle. About every third one turns out, and the other two are like, nah, the dog's going to eat well tonight.
So, that's right, yeah.
So tell us what an inside round is. Is that the big, what they now call, they're selling it in the butcher shops. It's out of a round steak, but they're selling, call it a round loin, I think.
You know, I'm really not sure about that. It's a large piece. It's like an 18 to 20 pounder. We used to use a sirloin tip or a peeled knuckle, I call it. I don't know if it's quite a sirloin tip, but it tastes just like one if you ask me. But we put all the meat in at the same time. And when you have a 10-pound piece of meat, of beef, going in with a 10-pound Boston butt, and you get busy, you end up getting them all out at the same time, 7 or 8, 10 hours later, and then you've burnt the beef up or dried it out too much. So well, we can fix that. Let's get a couple pieces. We went from a gooseneck round to an inside round and find out we can put the inside in with the Boston butts, cook them at the same time. The beef comes out medium rare. The pork comes out done. So we don't have to, you know, if you get too busy, you don't really get us to mess up any piece of meat there.
That's interesting. Have you ever smoked chuck roast?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
I love smoking chuck roast. They're so forgiving. I mean,
really?
You can beat on them. Yeah, because they're chuck flavored, and there's, you know, it's in the front half of the animal, and it's fat, a lot of marbling generally, and just a beautiful piece of beef if you want to smoke some beef up. And if brisket's too much work, yeah.
But also, if on the inside round, if you decide being Lebanese, we could always get it, thaw it out, cut it in half, and take some home and grind it up for kibbeh.
Right.
Yeah. Beef right. Kibbeh, I don't know, that might get you in trouble.
Well, no, it's at the house, though.
Pat, tell me a little bit about the sides that are at Abe's.
We have barbecue beans, I guess most barbecue places do, onion rings, french fries, potato salad. We use a really good mustard potato salad. We found a commercial outfit that makes it, and it's absolutely wonderful. Get compliments all the time. So I said, if we get that kind of compliments, we don't need to try to make it. I don't think we can make it as good as that.
Sometimes that's pretty wise.
Right.
Especially the volume you're going through.
Yeah, and then we do a lot of on our burger line, one of our biggest sellers is what we call a chili cheeseburger, just slaw. And our slaw is, like I said, a vinegar and vinegar and oil, salt and pepper. That's it. No sugar or anything like that, mayonnaise, none of that. And slaw, chili, cheese, and a burger, and instant. We sell. That's probably our second best seller. And then anything else on the menu that if only upgrades we have, we call a Big A. But a Big A is anything on the menu, it's a double-decker. That's it.
So now if people are heading south, I believe 55 is the closest interstate you're to, isn't it?
That's correct.
How far off and which direction would you head?
It'd be 45 miles due east of here.
Okay.
Just straight shot, yeah.
So you'd head west on what highway if you're on 55?
Number 6 or better, no, now known as 278.
Okay. Yep.
You would come into Clarksdale at the crossroads where Robert Johnson supposedly sold his soul to the devil to learn how to play the blues. We're at the intersection of 49 and 61 in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
That's the story I wanted to get to.
Okay, go.
Tell us that.
Well, I really basically wound it up in that one little sentence. I don't know that much. Yeah, they say he sat under this tree, a sycamore tree. I don't know if the sycamore trees are. I think they've got some shrubs now that are smaller, just growing up like a tree. And he sat under there and played the blues and told the devil, if I really want to play good, I'm going to have to give you my soul. So,
interesting story.
Oh, brother, yeah. Where art thou?
Right, I mean, yeah.
We've got people from all over, not because of us, but because of the crossroads. I mean, all over the world to come here pretty much daily. I mean, daily. Had a couple in from Finland. Couple of days ago, Australians are here a lot. It's just from all over.
Pat, so when your butt hits the smoker, what kind of seasonings profiles are you using? And then when it comes out, the sauces that are on the table.
Okay, I'll go ahead and tell you now. We put the Boston butts in. We do not do a thing to them. We smoke them with pecan wood, and when they come off the pit that night, we put them in the cooler. Let the grease drain off of them. You know, all the juices you see in a Boston butt?
Right.
Really not quite all juices. Most of it's going to be fat.
Right.
Which is fine. It does give it a flavor. But what we do, we cool our meat down overnight. The next day you come in, and you've got this beautiful white lard about 2 inches below where we raise the Boston butt, let it drip down into the pan. You have about an inch and a half of this beautiful white lard at the bottom that you won't have to eat, okay? Then we debone the Boston butt and cut the... Now the fat is turned white in the Boston butt because it's cooled down.
Right.
Instead of being a liquid, it's cooled down. So you trim the fat out, and you got a lot leaner pork. So, I mean, you can eat here, and it doesn't add calories to you too much.
That makes it a little bit easier to get the fat out of it then that way, doesn't it?
Right. You get to – now, you know, people argue it's so much better. And I do cook them at the house. When I do, I like them hot. But I can't eat a bunch of them because it gets me – you know, just bothers me, all that grease.
Right.
Yes.
Eventually.
Flavor profile for your seasoning then, what you're going to season it with, and how do you make your sauce?
Okay, yeah, well, I can't tell you that, of course. But anyway, once we get our barbecue meat sliced, we put it in pans, and we serve it that day. So at lunch, now the meat's cool, we throw it on a flat griddle, warm it up, and put some of our barbecue sauce on it. And just, we don't cook it again. All we're doing is warming it up.
Okay, you see that difference there, Jop? They're not pulling that pork.
They're slicing it.
And right, some places do that. That's a cool little difference. And it's really a colloquial or it's a regional, local thing. That's, your area does that, and that's unique to the Delta, I think.
Right, we have, yeah, because people come in and say, man, this isn't really good barbecue. You cooked it yesterday, and then you're going to use it today. I said, but then I explained why we do it that way. And then it got down to where there was so much, the business got bigger and bigger, and we just couldn't keep up doing it hot to hot. And once we never did go hot, you know, hot straight out of the pit to the grill. It's just, it was easy for us to keep up with demand by doing it this way.
So
and,
if folks are...
And we've got where people like it like that now. I'm sorry, go ahead, Bob.
That's all right. We're out of time. But if folks are heading down 55 on your way south for spring break, and you see the exit sign for Clarksville, what's it, 278?
That's correct.
Yeah, head west 45 minutes. It's called Abe's Barbecue. Check them out online. It's Abe's... ABESBBQ.com. Very cool story to your family. It's awesome. Of course, I have a bond with that now with you, and we can talk food all day. But Pat Davis.
Anytime.
Pat Davis, pleasure and honor having you on the show, sir.
Always, fellas. Y'all have a good day.
All right, buddy.
Coming up next, a little sweet swine of mine. Our friend Mark Lambert's going to be on the line. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street. Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from The Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
With The Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see The Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to The Grillin' Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's all about the great deep south today. We're bouncing all over Mississippi and talking to some of the local experts on southern barbecue. And, you know, they don't say a lot, but they say a lot at the same time. What I mean is they'll tell you almost everything you need to know. But we got a guy coming up next that knows a lot about barbecue. He's won championships. He's got a company called Sweet Swine O' Mine. So live on the grilling line, it's Mark Lambert from Sweet Swine O' Mine.
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
How's everything?
Well, we, you know, delving into Mississippi barbecue, it just wouldn't be right not to talk to you because in our world, you represent everything about Delta Country, and you've certainly proven it around the country. So just want to, I guess, a little hat tip to Sweet Swine of Mine and talk a little bit about maybe your opinion of flavor profiles, because one thing we're trying to get out of these guys we've talked to so far and we've been unsuccessful is the flavor profile of the Delta region of Mississippi.
Pork. and don't cover it up. That's typically what you get in the Delta is you get a really pronounced old style, old school, open pit pork flavor. And they don't cover it up with a lot of stuff. And the sauces you get are usually really thin. They have some spices in them and maybe a little sugar and vinegar and very little tomato, but they don't put a lot of sauces on there. They don't put a lot of rub. They put just usually salt and pepper and a really light mop, if you will, when things are finished. But they don't cover up the flavor, and I think that's the flavor profile that you're going to get through typically throughout, especially the Delta region of Mississippi, is just good old style pit flavored pork. And they do a lot to enhance it, but they don't cover it up.
So, what, sea salt, black pepper?
Black pepper, salt, garlic, maybe a little onion, maybe some paprika, chili powder for color, essentially, but not much else in the way of rub. But the whole profile, really, that you're going to get typically in old school. Now, some of these chains are cooking on big rotisserie pits, gas fired, and all that's all well and good, but traditional flavors are done over a pit, you know, where you're, you know, around roughly 30 inches away from the coals, and they cook over charcoal, and they throw wood in there. Sometimes they burn their own coal from wood, and sometimes they use charcoal, but bottom line, the fat drips down on the coals, and that flavors the meat.
So when you're talking about a pit, these are concrete block pits with grates on them, real simple.
That's right.
Just old school.
Right, concrete or brick.
Mm-hmm. Do they have a cover on them, most of them, or no?
Most of them are, they're different ways. They're horizontally oriented pits with huge lids that cover the entire top, and then there are vertical brick pits that have doors on the side of them. A lot of those, especially those that are built into the side of a restaurant, or those have those side doors that where you can open in and it vents all the way out the top. And some of the older, more old-school barbecue places, they have a separate room that's more horizontally oriented where you've got that big old freezer-style lid on the top, and then you load the coals in the front or in the side.
Okay. So one of the things we used to tell people is how to make your own little pit. And you can do it portable if you get like 8 or 10-inch construction blocks, concrete cinder blocks. And you can literally just make a big horseshoe shape out of them, put a couple rows up, lay a big piece of the corrugated grating across there, and then put a couple more stacks of blocks up and put a big piece of sheet metal or steel across the top. And you can move it if you ever have to. And
yeah,
that's
and
just a really cool way to do it.
A couple of gaps in between the blocks for some rebar so that your expanded metal won't sag and during the cooking process when it heats up and you put the weight on it.
Uh-huh.
So a couple of gaps and put rebar in between for support, and that also will help your airflow.
That sounds like that might have come from experience where that stuff expanded and your meat ended up in the fire.
Yeah, you know, experience is a good teacher.
Yeah. So tell us about Sweet Swine of Mine and your website and what people can do, because you have some nice sauces and rubs that you make and sell.
Yeah, you know, of course, the whole website and my whole business was started off of, you know, blending my own rubs, my own sauces, and then people wanted me to make some more for them, and it just become too labor-intensive to make the quantities, and so we found co-packers to make our own stuff. And then throughout the years of traveling and competing, we found other products that we like from friends and also just from references. So everything you see on my site is something that we've tried, something that I like, something that we believe in, something that works. So it's not going to be something that we just heard it was good and we put it on. We've tried everything that's on our site.
Right.
You know, from the barbecue pits to the sauces, seasonings, meat injectors, we try to carry only the best stuff out there, and we stand behind what we sell.
You said something.
Because we have faith in it.
Yeah, you said something that I think is really important, and you said friends. Now, we've been friends for a good number of years now, and you know, and many people know, a lot of barbecue people. And then there's barbecue people that aren't necessarily in a group, or they're so guarded, and they're not like in that social circle because all they think about is winning, and they're missing out on the whole friend side of it. And life's too short. This is a cool community, and I just think the people that you meet in it are probably the best part of the whole business.
Bottom line, I mean, that's we do it because we love it, but you know, we love to share it. That's the main thing. We love to share it with friends. And if all I could do was just go out and stay in my trailer and compete and not get to, you know, go out and socialize and meet new people and experience new flavors and new styles and new techniques, I just wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. And now you sell the Little Red Smoker. Tell us how that's going and how that's working out for folks.
Our Little Red Box Smoker is a sort of a rebirth of an old smoker that was eliminated from the Backwoods smoker lineup. It was their original smoker that they came out with over about 30 years ago now.
Wow.
They eliminated it from their lineup maybe 8 years ago, and there was still quite a demand for it, much smaller, but there was quite a demand.
They quit making it just because they didn't make enough money on it. The time and materials just didn't work out for what they thought they could sell it for. So I spent some time finding a really good factory in China, and they already make grills, private label grills, for a lot of other major big box stores in the state. So they have quality control and a testing laboratory and certifications that they can give us. So they know how to package it, how to produce it, how to test it. And they really worked with us well on everything, and also with delivery, so we didn't have to take delivery of a huge quantity at one time. So last year, because of the partnership with this company, we sold 700 units last year in the year 2016, and really only had about two damages through FedEx Ground.
So tell us about that. Tell us about that smoker real quickly. We've got about a minute left. What can you smoke on it, and what's the price point, and how do you buy it?
Runs about $400. We're still taking dealers. We're trying not to stack dealers on top of one another geographically, but it's a vertical insulated smoker, reverse flow, insulated water smoker, powered with charcoal and wood for flavor. It'll burn for about 5 hours on a load of charcoal at 225 degrees or greater. It'll cook two whole pork butts, three small brisket flats, six 11-bone racks of ribs, or three whole chickens at a time. It weighs 68 pounds, so it's real small and portable. It's very fuel efficient. It looks great. And it's packaged so that you can ship it anywhere in the country for about $50.
So if you're a retailer listening in, or if you've got a store and want to augment your business, get a hold of Sweet Swine of Mine and check out that Little Red Smoker, and you might spike your business a little bit, because it's a really good size and an awesome product, and I know you designed it, so it's going to work great. Mark, good to talk to you, buddy. It's Mark Lambert, Sweet Swine of Mine. Check them out online. Give us your website.
SSOMD.com. It's just acronym for Sweet Swine of Mine Distributing.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks. See you in Houston, maybe.
Hey, look forward to it.
All right, bud.
Great guy. Incredibly knowledgeable when it comes about the barbecue business and all the stuff with it. Kind of cool that he's brought back this little smoker. You know, I was thinking about our friends out east and being able to put those on in a smaller area. Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, we're going to help you choose the right flavor profile. Which one's it going to be? We're talking Mississippi. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Today's Man Law, albeit lengthy, is still brought to you by Vicky's Wood Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. Is it permissible in the pursuit of humor to tap the top of another man's beer bottle with the bottom of your beer bottle, causing the other man's beer bottle to fizz over? No, as there are plenty of other things that make us laugh without wasting a drop of beer, like Japanese game shows, Undercover Brother on DVD, and Jimmy Johnson's hair. Man Law, no wasting beer in the pursuit of humor.
That's a good one, albeit a long one.
Live
by it.
That's
a good one, yeah. Why do that? All it does is make the other guy mad. It's really not even funny.
It's not funny.
No. And
stupid,
you know, and you're wasting
infantile,
good beer.
Juvenile, right. All the aisles. It's all right. The aisles.
So, Barbecue Bob, we went down to Mississippi in that Delta country, picked up a little bit of this today. In summary, what?
It's just kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we should do that tour of the country again like we did, so yeah. Why not? Let's What do you want to do next week?
Well,
how about Texas or
you know what?
California.
We can do West Coast. Let's focus on the West Coast.
Well, I would ask you that maybe we could wait because I'm heading out there in a couple weeks and I'm going to do some research.
Bait and switch right there. He's like, "What do you want to do?" Oh, sorry, can't have that
you
one.
The one I don't want to do.
Can't have that one. So there we go.
Go figure.
Yeah. Right. Well, now you all know who's in charge of the show plan, right?
I'm just in charge of my travel agenda.
Right, yeah, right. Can't have that job. I'm sorry. It's not available.
I spent the week in Duluth, Minnesota, so be easy on me.
Okay, so what are we looking for? Upper Midwest barbecue?
No barbecue in Duluth, I'll tell you that. But there's a lot of fish up there, right, eh, boy?
But, well, let's go straight south of there then, and down in our folks in Kansas City. Okay. Maybe we can rustle up Rob Russell. You know, we could also do Memphis, maybe the Carolinas, South or North Carolina. Each maybe even Alabama, we were close there with the with Mississippi today. But the cool part about that is, and we've done this one other time in our 6-year history, where we go around to region by region and we talk about the seasoning profiles, the sauce profiles, as well as the cooking styles. And each region, they tend to focus on pork, but not always.
That's right. I'm headed to Texas in about another month, and I think we should hold off Texas, too, until I can do some good field research because that's the best part of the job.
Yeah, exactly. If you watch Barbecue Bob's Facebook page, which is the Grilling Guys on Facebook, you'll see he's a food photo guy. And everywhere
he goes.
I love
taking pictures of food, even if it's just fried rice.
Yeah. That was last week.
So we got the Carolinas, too, North and South Carolina. There's so many cool stories in barbecue everywhere you go. We heard a few of them today. Sometimes you got to like drag it out of the people and they don't want to tell you their secrets, but, it's just a lot of fun checking out barbecue around the country. And, I think that's going to be, just something we can do to bring the folks a little bit of fun on the weekends.
Right. It's the winter. Be safe out there. You tend to bring the grill and the smoker a little bit closer to the house during the winter, and just be safe. You don't need to start any fires. If you're out there skiing, snowmobiling, you know, be safe and come back in one piece. And the Grilling Guys will be chatting with you each and every week this winter, making sure that you're still getting your grill on and maybe a little grill envy in your neighborhood. Yeah.